This is Marilyn Monroe, and we're running wild on the Hollywood persona.
All alone, running wild.
Welcome to the Hollywood persona.
Mitch, shut up and act like an adult for once.
Welcome to the Hollywood persona.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 11 of the Hollywood persona with Ant and Mitch. We have several movies for you today, but I think, Ant, you're going to start it off with some movie news. How are you doing first?
Great, man. Thanks for having me again. I just got a couple quick pieces of news. One's box office related, and then the other one I just want to get your opinion on.
Yeah.
I
have opinions.
Good. I can go ahead and start if you like.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Yeah. So the first thing is the weekend box office for North America. Creed 3 smashed expectations. Each time they kept putting out expectations throughout the weekend, you can kind of monitor, and every time they were exceeded. So it made $58.3 million, which is a franchise high as well. That's better than Creed. You know, Creed, which came out in 15, and then Creed 2 as well. Yeah, and even if you adjust for inflation, it's better than the original Rocky or any of the Rocky movies. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, really exciting. It's really exciting. And then, you know, especially because, and we'll get to it in a minute, Rocky isn't seen in this movie. He's mentioned slightly, but apparently there's some behind-the-scenes scuffle between him and the producer that owns the rights. And yeah, you can look it up if you want to. It's all public. It's like they're airing dirty laundry on Instagram if you want to go read about it. Like
I've heard rumblings about how he wants the rights back to Rocky and everything, but I haven't done too much digging. So
it's complicated because I can kind of see where he's coming from. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like it's one of those issues where I don't want to pick a side because I don't have a dog in the fight, and
yeah.
You know, I kind of feel for both of them.
It always surprises me that he wrote that first movie. I had no idea because...
Right, yeah. That's the story of him writing that first one and working hard to get it. And, you know, he hadn't done anything before that one. And for not only him to have written it, but then to convince someone to let him star in it as well is just amazing. Because, you know, if you or I or somebody else showed up and said, hey, I got this great script, and people agree that it was a great script, the chances of you actually getting to star in it are pretty low, you know?
Yeah.
So he worked hard for it.
Yeah, I'll be excited to ask you some more questions when you review it. I haven't seen it, but I also haven't seen the second one. So I think I need to go back and do a rewatch.
Yeah, we'll get there in just a second.
Okay.
So then next with the box office piece that I wanted to mention was Ant-Man dropped another 60% down to $12.8 million this weekend. So that's its third weekend. And it's really not great. You know, I don't really want for this to happen because I want movies to do good. I want, you know, the movie business to do good because I, you know, part-time work at one, and I love going to the movie theater. So
yeah,
it's not great, but it'll, you know, I think it'll still end up making money overall. But I bet it's just making the people like Kevin Feige and that group a little nervous because it's just not done well, as you know, in comparison to their other movies. So
yeah,
that'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on.
My only hope with this is that it's shaking them up and waking them up a bit and saying like, hey, you need, you know, some things need to change. So
yep. Yeah, because this isn't the first, this isn't just an outlier, you know.
No.
The last few they've done, Eternals didn't do well, and you know, and then Black Widow, but you can kind of explain away some of those with the pandemic still being kind of in full force or lots of people not ready to go back. So but this is a true, this one's a true testament to like, hey, they should be making more here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, so the next one is Guardians of Galaxy 3. I imagine that one will do great because those have been really popular and fun.
I don't predict that failing.
Me neither. I'd be really surprised. Yeah. People, like the public would have to have changed their mind so fast for that one to do really bad. And then the Marvels, I think, is in November.
Which I was kind of in the earlier phases, so still could do good. But I don't know. That's why.
Yeah, I have no ideas, no expectations for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the interesting stories. I think as far as the box office numbers go.
Yeah.
Sure. Then the next one that I wanted to talk to you about, and I linked it here in the show notes. I don't know if you put out any notes as far as with the podcast itself.
Yeah. But
you could link to this article.
I will. So
Vulture had this great article about projection, and it was just one of their reviewers and a guy that works in projection professionally. They went to the AMC Empire, which is one of the bigger AMCs in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went across the street to one of the big Regals that's in New York City. And they found that a lot of them were either in the wrong format. So they had the wrong ratio, 4:3 or 16:9. They were in the wrong ratio, or one of the screenings they were in, the Ant-Man one, they had left the 3D lens on. Mm-hmm. And so the screen was just exceptionally dark.
Wow.
And then they had some others that were just off by a foot, so they could see some of the screen was showing on the curtain on the side of the screen. And so, yeah, it was an interesting article. And I really hope that it kind of opens the eyes to the theater chains, because, they make a point in the article. They're like, the price of this movie ticket is more than the most expensive Netflix option per month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So it's like, and if theaters can't get their basic thing right, which is projecting a movie, then more people are going to choose streaming. So I was going to ask you, have you ever noticed or ran into any issues with your screens, with projectors, when you go see movies?
Well, it's interesting, because over on the Film Vault, Anderson has recently talked, he always says like his is so dark, like everything seems darker, and I have started to notice that in some theaters, and then in other theaters, I don't. So maybe they're leaving the 3D lens on. I haven't noticed it too bad, but I am starting to definitely notice little things that I wouldn't have before if my eyes weren't open to it, right?
Yeah. Same here. I would say that, the most of the time my experience is pretty good. And then I asked our general manager just as a mm-hmm. random question. I said, hey, do they ever come in and clean these screens? Cause I know people vape in the theaters and they just get dirty over time.
Yeah.
And he said that they come and clean them once a year at our theater, which
Screens.
Yeah. They have some people get up on ladders and scissor lifts and actually like clean them with some special chemical. You can't use water on them.
Yeah.
So that was cool to hear. I wonder if it's enough, because I've heard people complain about it being dark, just too dark to see. I'll say this just to leave us on a positive spin. AMC offers Dolby screens at a lot of their locations.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes upgraded sound system. They have like butt kickers in the seats, and the screens, they use dual laser projectors. They're dual Christie 4K projectors. Are really amazing. It's like a $100,000 installation, one of the AMC just for that one theater told me. So and those are always really, really amazing, and I think that's because Dolby, to have their name on it, has this high standard that mm-hmm. they must meet. And they're still pretty new, so we'll see. It's an interesting thing to keep an eye on. I would just love to hear, other feedback of people's experiences with projector being too dark or not in the right format. So that's an interesting read if you're up for it.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, maybe I'll put that out, get some people's opinions, and we'll talk about some more next week. Because sure. I would like to hear some people's experiences with that. And it's great that you mentioned that, because our podcast today is funded by AMC Dolby.
Huh?
No, I'm kidding.
I'm like, what?
Could you imagine?
That would be cool.
Right? We're all of a sudden rolling in it.
I know, right? And I shouldn't give them a free plug, but really, they are good theaters. So I'm happy to like.
I have a friend on Facebook who works for a Regal that just opened somewhere in the States. I don't know. But I've only heard really good things about AMC. So
yeah. Overall, they're good. I just think the pandemic hurt them, but Yeah, they got it. And they talk about, and again, in that article, they talk about the food options being not that great that they offer,
Yeah.
and you know, theaters not being cleaned, and nobody polices them for people on their phones or talking loudly and stuff. And that's a whole nother topic that
That is.
is hard to discuss. And it's really why I try and go to like late showings, because it
Yeah, me
limits the amount
too.
of people in there. But yeah, I just thought that'd be interesting to talk about. But we
No, that's
can
cool.
move on to the next thing if you'd like.
Yeah, I guess I since you just did a bunch of talking, I'll go first talk about a
Sure.
movie and then you can talk about one. So I had these big movies. Like I've seen Ant-Man since, I've seen Cocaine Bear, and I know you kind of, you know, we talked about some bigger movies this week, but I need to talk about some of these smaller ones. And they're not smaller in the sense because I mean they're all Oscar nominees, but I just want to bring some attention to them because I think I heard someone discussing Close on another podcast, and this is a 2022 film. It's a coming of age drama directed by Lucas Don't. He hasn't done a whole lot. He's done one other feature before this. It takes place in Belgium, and it's two 13-year-old boys, Leo and Remy, and they're like best friends. And I guess like it sounds weird, they love to have sleepovers and they're very like close, not sexual. Like it's not like they're it's not a love thing, but it's like they have so much love for each other. They're just so close. And obviously I keep saying the title of the movie, but it's just their relationship is unlike anything I think I've seen on screen. And then kind of what happens with their relationship, obviously like the bullying, you know, people calling them, you know, the F word and saying they're gay and stuff like that. And one of them gets defensive and starts pulling away and you know, I'm bisexual, so I've kind of dealt with that in my life, you know, where people, you know, other men don't want to be my friend or don't want to get too close because they're going to be seen as gay. So a lot of it really spoke to me, and maybe that's why I loved it so much. Something major does happen about halfway through the movie, and I don't, that's as much as I want to say.
Yeah.
But I spent quite a bit of the movie crying, and I don't like I have not been crying. I don't cry in movies as much as I used to, so it has to be pretty good for it to make me go down that road.
Yeah.
The two young boys are just incredible actors, and I loved it, and I can see why it's up for Best International Feature Film.
Yeah.
It's just great. So, don't skip this one. It is slowly starting to come to streaming. I think you still have to pay like $20 for it right now if you want to watch it. Like, because it just left theaters, and so I think you can watch it for like $20. But I Brian on the Film Vault said he found it boring and slow. But I think obviously I connected to it. So it's a hard one for me to recommend because I don't want somebody to be like, oh my God, that was an hour and a half. I need back, but I loved it. So.
Yeah, so I actually saw that too, Mitch, and
Oh.
it was really impactful to me. I thought those young boys were just so good and so believable. I mean, it felt like you're watching a documentary. And then just to add on one other thing too about their story is, you know, yeah, we've seen recently in the last 5, 10 years, which has been great, is we've seen a lot of stories, gay stories like this. Although, like you said, it's not really what this is. But what I, you know, want to praise the movie for is you don't necessarily see this age of a gay story. You know, like a lot of them are they're older or whatever. And this was, you know, it's such a it's coming of age, like you said, is such a a delicate time. Mm-hmm. And so these, you know, these boys in this movie, like you said, like they don't even know if they are gay or not. Like,
yeah.
And we don't see anything in the movie that says so. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, to an outside observer, maybe you might think like, oh, maybe he's gay or maybe one of them eventually will be or whatever. But yeah, I just thought it was cool that they chose this age right here. Cause you know, like you said, I think they portray the bullying that happens to them in school just perfectly. It's exactly perfectly. How I remember it. It's exactly how I remember it.
Those girls sitting there and they made it so like it would fit in today. Like obviously it was like felt 2023 or 2022 because these girls were like, it's okay. We just want to know.
Right.
And you know, these boys are still a little insecure. So they're, and, you know, obviously it hints that one of them might be maybe like have some feelings or something, but, and then one of them clearly doesn't. So, but it's also, who knows? They're just 13. Mm-hmm. They're just
right.
Figuring themselves out. And, yeah. I think there's one of the most heartbreaking scenes and it's just so small and I'm just going to hint at it. But all it does is it involves someone moving, something about beds, and that's all I'll say.
Yeah,
and it just broke my heart. I was it was so sad, but definitely give this a watch. Obviously, I think it was pretty good. So
yeah, I would also recommend it too. And it's not that much of a commitment. Like you said, it's an hour and a half. It's not that
yeah. long. And God, Belgium's never looked so fucking beautiful with all yeah. the flowers, like the family, they're flower pickers or whatever. And that's one, I'm glad you watch it because like, I don't know if you know, but why were they just picking the tops of the flowers off?
I don't know. I thought it must be something I don't know about because I'm like, because they're ruining it.
Yeah, they have these beautiful flower fields, and then what they're going through in most of the film is them picking the very, like if they were roses, like picking off the actual flower head. And I don't know, maybe it's for seeding or something or
potpourri. Right, it must be something else. Yeah,
so weird.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, that's close, and it's really good.
I'm glad you agree. So,
yep.
Creed 3, you want to take us to the big one?
Yeah, let me cover that. I might the next one I might just say a couple words about because it's not that big of a movie. But yeah, Creed 3. So Creed 3, I just saw it, and I'm here to report that it was really excellent. It was really excellent. I didn't really know what to expect with it being the third movie in a franchise, you know. So this is Michael B. Jordan's directorial debut. He directed this movie. The first one was done by Ryan Coogler, which we all know mm-hmm. his name now. Mm-hmm. And the second one wasn't that great. I know you said you didn't see the second one. I don't have too much memory from it. I really wish I'd gone back to revisit it. It kind of went in one ear and out the other, or one eye and out the other. Because I don't remember too much about it.
Yeah.
I think I remember liking it a little bit. But yeah, this one. So Michael B. Jordan stars and directs. And he is now the world champ boxer. And he's retired. He's a couple years out of retirement.
Oh.
And then Jonathan Majors, who we just saw last week in Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
He was a childhood friend of his. And this is all in the trailer. He was a childhood friend of his, and they got into some kind of scuffle as young men, at teenagers, and Majors had to go to jail for whatever reason, you'll find out in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets out, and he wants to link back up with his best buddy that he remembers, Michael B. Jordan, playing Adonis Creed. Mm-hmm. And the story kind of kicks off from there. And yeah, man, it was really exciting. So some of the things that were great was the fighting scenes. The way he shot the fighting scenes were awesome and riveting. And I saw it in Dolby. So each punch, you know, you feel the seat shake and kick you in the back kind of a little bit, which is awesome.
It's literally been like an hour since you've seen it. Like you got out of it like an hour ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just did. And Jonathan Majors is so much more alive in this than in Ant-Man, you know. So he was the best part, I think we both kind of thought about Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he's so much better in this one is he just has so much more to do, a wider range of emotion. He gets to be more animated, obviously, because he's fighting. And, you know, they butt heads at certain points. And so he's just really good. And I'm so excited to see what he does next, because he has this like swagger about him, and the way his eyes move, I mean, you just can see exactly what he's thinking when you look at him, and that really showed me that about him watching this movie. I have seen him in another movie he's great in, is Last Black Man in San Francisco. That came out a few years ago.
I don't remember a thing from that movie, but I have seen it.
And yeah, it's a little slow.
Mm-hmm.
That one is.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was one of those ones that I was kind of like, okay, I can see why people like it, but it just didn't have enough to be. But anyways, enough about. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's fine. I think it was like an awards hopeful, and it didn't end up getting too much. But he was great in it, and so yeah, I'm excited to see him. So then, just a couple small things to mention. One thing I noticed was the CGI with a fake crowd. So of course, there's lots of boxing scenes, and there's a few that are in gyms, some that are in bigger arenas, and some that are in huge arenas. And when they're in these huge arenas, you can just tell the background is a flat wall with people on it. Maybe that's just because I saw it in Dolby and the projection is so clear. But it just stuck out to me. And I'm like, damn, you think back to the Rocky movies, like they would have a stadium full of people or as close to full as possible. So that was just one small thing. And then the other thing is the movie's not perfect. So I think I gave it 3.5 out of 5. It really tries to cram in a whole lot. So in this movie, Michael B. Jordan has a daughter who is deaf, and he has a mom who has recently suffered a stroke, and his wife, played by Tessa Thompson, is a well-known and famous recording artist. So, and they all have some things going on with them. So, and the movie stops at 2 hours. I mean, it is exactly 2 hours long, and in some ways that's great, but at others it felt longing, like, oh, I want to know more about this, or something happens so suddenly because it makes sense for the story for it to happen right then, before this big climactic ending happens. So you need this and this to all happen, or have their low points, I guess you could say. So yeah, but overall still really exciting watch. I can't wait to see it again someday, and I recommend it to anybody. It's really, really exciting, and I'm so glad to see that it did well, even though it's a franchise. It's just cool to see someone doing their directorial debut do such a great job. There's one shot that I want to call out that was just amazing, and it was great visual storytelling, which, we love to see. It's before one of the fights. Michael B. Jordan is kind of coaching Jonathan Majors, and Michael B. Jordan leaves the room, and the camera is back up against the wall. And on the left side, you see Michael B. Jordan. Right before he leaves, he stops and looks at the wall. They're separated by a concrete wall. And Jonathan Majors also, like, he's preparing, doing a little shadow boxing. He stops and looks at the wall. And they're looking at each other, but they can't obviously see each other because there's a wall between them. And the colors on each side are different, indicating their mood. Each one has a little different mood because they went in with different intentions before that scene. And it was just a very small detail that I appreciated from a new director like Michael B. Jordan. So yeah, definitely recommend it. I would say get to it if you can. It's worth it in the theater, but if you have to wait, you can wait too. And I would say you don't necessarily even need to see the second one to you, Mitch.
Yeah.
Because since I forgot most of the stuff about the second one, like, I have to say you're safe to see. If you're just looking for a fun sports movie, boxing movie to see, this is worth it.
Okay. I mean, I don't like sports very much, but I love sports movies. So, and boxing movies, I'm like right in there. So I will, check it out.
Definitely recommend it.
Who is Felix Chavez? Am I?
Sorry, you're cutting up a little bit. Say that again.
Who is Felix Chavez?
Yeah. Felix Chavez. He is the initial antagonist. He is the pro that is fighting at Michael B. Jordan's gym. As I said, Adonis Creed has retired a few years.
Right.
So this guy is the current world champ, and he trains at Michael B. Jordan's gym. And he was excellent. And I want to say, I hate to do this while we're recording, but I think he might actually be a real fighter because he really looked the part.
Well, while you're doing that, I was just actually checking anyways, because I wanted to see who wrote Creed 3. And looks like Ryan Coogler and Kenan Coogler, his brother,
yes.
Both helped on the story. And then another guy named Zachary Jones Balin, who did Gran Turismo.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that one. And so I found out, yeah, Felix Chavez is the character name, but Jose Benavidez is the actual actor or person, okay. But he's a star boxer. So that makes total sense to me.
Okay.
I mean, there's just a few scenes where I'm like, that guy looks like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to shout him out. He's not in it too much, but the scenes he in are great. And the last thing to say is just the shape that these guys are in is just incredible. It's incredible. It just made me think like that. Wow. Like men look like this. I know it's unrealistic, right? Cause they're on crazy diets. They have trainers twice a day and you know, who knows what else they do. You know, do you remember those stories about like Chris Pratt getting into incredible shape for the second Guardians movie and Kumail Nanjiani for the Eternals came out and said something like, this isn't normal. Don't look at me. Like, you know, he made a really good post. I think about that. Cause
so did, yeah, Hemsworth did the same thing too. And like, because we've seen, I think there's been beach pictures of him where like 2 weeks ago, he looked like this. Why does he have a belly now? And it's like, well, you can't maintain that. And that's what I think that's what Hemsworth said is like, that you, like, we're doing that for our job and you cannot maintain that for your entire life. And that's why Christian Bale doesn't do it anymore. He had to stop going from like, heavy to skinny to muscle, and he's just like, I'm done gaining or losing weight for a role. But
yeah, it's really damaging. There's that picture, a friend of mine loves to show it to me, we talk about it a lot because Bale is his favorite actor, and it's a 6-panel image, and it shows all the movies that Bale did in a row, and it's like he's like emaciated and then he's super fat in the next one, and it's like, yeah, that just can't be healthy.
Yeah, it can't be, but oh well. So I'm going to jump to the documentary shorts. I ended up watching all the shorts that you discussed, except for that. I cannot find an Irish goodbye anywhere.
I didn't talk about the documentary ones.
No, no. But an Irish goodbye was the live action short. It was a live action. Yes. So, but so I've seen every short now except for An Irish Goodbye, which is, you can't even find it anywhere. I'm going to keep looking up until the day of the Oscars because I've now seen every single Oscar nominee, even for music and everything. So,
hey, nice.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever done that. So I even messaged the Irish Goodbye people on Instagram and said, like, can I get a screener or can I pay like something, but whatever.
Hey, good try. That's a good idea. At least try.
You never know if you don't try.
Yeah.
So have you seen any of the documentary shorts? I don't know.
I haven't. I still haven't.
Okay.
I would love to hear you talk about them because I am dying to see these.
Yeah. So they are a little bit more of a commitment because most of them are like 40 minutes, right? Especially the Elephant Whisperers is, you know, takes place in Africa, I want to say, and they are taking care of Indian elephants, and they're like this beautiful, just like, you know, society, and it almost looks fake, but it's like completely real and out in the middle of the jungle, and they take care of these elephants and they have these bonds with the elephants, and it shows how smart they are, and it's on Netflix. It's a great watch. It actually kind of did make me tear up, and the cool. The main characters are so energetic and lively and fun to watch too, and they love the animals, and it's just really it's nice to see like a documentary that is kind of lighthearted. You know, we get so much death and this one kind of had a whimsical score, and I mean there's some sad moments, but for sure, because it's dealing with a decreasing population of elephants in the world, and you know that is brought up and dealt with, but it's nice. I really enjoyed it. I think I gave that 3.5. The Martha Mitchell Effect, excuse me, I think I was texting you a little bit about this. It's the one that has to do with the Watergate scandal.
Right.
And Martha Mitchell was a woman who was married to a guy in Nixon's cabinet.
Yes.
And I'm Canadian, so like a lot of this is just right over my head. And I know, you know, Nixon and his wife, and so it was, I followed along, and it's just more about the woman. Her name's Martha Mitchell, and it is a very interesting story because she was kind of like, she was gaslighted and she was made to be seen as like crazy. And all these years later, you know, we realized that she was, she knew what she was talking about, and she was just very outspoken. And back then people did not want an outspoken woman. So
especially then.
Yeah. So, and she was speaking out against Nixon, and Nixon, yeah, it was really interesting, but, well, it's not my least favorite. So there's one.
Okay. Okay. Is she long gone? I'm guessing, like, deceased.
Yes. I guess the Martha, have you ever heard of the Martha Mitchell effect?
I hadn't. No, I really hadn't.
No, me neither. Yeah. So if you type in Martha Mitchell, she's just called whistleblower. So she died in 76. She was only 57. So
wow. Okay.
When she died.
So I wonder what the inspiration was to make this now, you know, so many years later.
I think it's just the effects, like mental health is so much more prominent maybe. And a lot of people back then saw her as this crazy, she was crazy delusional person. So the Martha Mitchell effect occurs when a medical professional labels a patient's accurate perception of real events as delusional, resulting in misdiagnosis.
Oh, wow.
So I guess it's like if I said, dude, I saw aliens, and a doctor said, no, you didn't. And then it comes out 5 years later that Mitch saw aliens. It'd be the Martha Mitchell effect.
Got it. Oh, well, yeah. That's a nice legacy for her, at least, to have her name tied to something. Cause I bet it's a horrible feeling to know you're right about something, especially Nixon, you know, who now we know is a complete asshole. So,
That's
interesting. I'm still going to watch these. So,
okay. All right. It is interesting. It is. But I don't know. I love politics to a degree. I just don't know a ton. So
sure. I kind of feel the same way. I'm interested in it because there's lots of interesting stories there. So
for sure.
I'm here to hear it. Was this one also 40 minutes, I think, right?
It's like 40 minutes on Netflix. So it's right there. If it feels like it's something down your, up your alley, but 3.5 kind of for me. So I will talk, so now how do you measure a year is the next one. And I don't want to, well, you know what, there's no spoiling it. It's this man, a Jewish guy, he filmed his daughter at the age every year on her birthday. And asked,
that's right. I remember.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
I haven't. No. I just read about it.
So, and he asks her the same questions every year. And
yeah.
And it's the questions aren't really the interesting part. It's just for me as a parent, and I think anybody as a parent is going to, like, you know, get a little dusty at the end. And even in the middle, I write notes. And so I wrote 11, age 11, and I circled it. Cause I'm like, that seems like the age where I might lose my kids because it was just so interesting. Like she was into the video, and then age 11 and like age 11 and 12, she hated it. And then she kind of liked it again. And then she kind of hated it. And then at the end, I don't want to give it away, but it's only like 10, 11 minutes, I think, but it's very sweet. And I can see why it's up for, a nomination for
sure. Yeah, that sounds great. Was this also Netflix? Do you remember?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Sorry
how
to put
I
you on the spot. Yeah.
I don't know where how I saw it, but so I'll talk about my least favorite one now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm doing a lot of talking, but I definitely wanted to talk about these.
Yeah, I wanted to hear about them.
Yeah, you gave such a good description of the live action shorts and the live action and animated shorts last week. So I just wanted to get these ones talked about. So if you want to go back and listen to last episode, Ant did talk about those ones. So Stranger at the Gate. So Stranger at the Gate is about a man who is suffering from like PTSD. He has been discharged from the war, and he absolutely hates Muslims, and because that's the world he was, you know, forced to kill them, right? Those were his enemies for many years. He saw a Muslim person and he saw them as his enemy.
Is he an American soldier?
Yeah, American soldier. And so he comes back and he is no longer able to serve in the war. So, well, then a mosque opens up in the area. And I can't even say anything really more, but like, I was really annoyed at how this movie tried to trick me. It was, by the end, I was just left angry, and it tries to make you think the story's going to go one way, but it leans so hard into trying to make you think that it's almost obvious that it's not that. And it should have been shorter, and they should have tried not to trick the audience. It fell completely flat for me. And it's a good story, and it's timely, and a lot of people should see this, but they just kind of pissed me off, and it really rubbed me the wrong way. So I gave it like 2 stars just because it kind of pissed me off. I mean, maybe in another frame of mind or someone else might really love it, but no. And all so
right, that's good to know.
Yeah. So the last one I'm going to talk about is my absolute fucking favorite. This documentary short is incredible. It's called Haulout. Haulout. And if you don't know what a haulout is, I mean, if you know what a haulout is, this movie's going to be kind of ruined for you. But most people probably don't know what a haulout is, and I'm not going to give it away. Because you're just go into this completely blind. You're sitting there. It's all aesthetic shots of the beach and the waves and people walking along the beach. And you're like, what the fuck's going on? It's like 3 minutes of this. It's boring. And then like something happens and it starts to, it like seems like a horror movie all of a sudden. It's like, there's like scratching and it's dark. And then you realize what is going on. And it's just phenomenal moment after phenomenal moment. And obviously if you look up the movie, I think it kind of shows you what it is, but just try to go in as blind as possible, because I absolutely loved it. It has a very sad ending, if you are an animal lover and you know, if you care about the climate change and stuff at all. So it really, I loved it. So I gave it 5 stars. I thought it was just absolutely great, because it's just so fucking well shot too. And it's like two guys out in the middle of nowhere. So like, well, you only see the one guy, but obviously there's a cameraman and he's getting these shots, and oh, it's just, oh my God, I love it. I'm going to watch it again with my parents or someone, whoever wants to watch it with me, I will watch it again. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah. You have definitely piqued my interest. I'm going to see this for sure.
Yeah. I hope I pique everyone's interest. Speaking of that, if you go to my blog, thehollywoodpersona.wordpress.com, or my Facebook page, I have made a list of all the places you can stream or rent or watch every Oscar nominated movie. There's only a couple you can't see at home. So if any of these have piqued your interest, you can probably see them at home. Just go check out my list, and I will link to it actually, obviously, in the show notes as well as that article. So yeah, cool. So those are the documentary shorts. Take it away on your next movie there, sir.
Cool. The next one I was going to talk about was Luther the Fallen Son. And this, I don't have too much to say about this, but I was glad that you filled me in with a little extra context. So this is coming to Netflix. I think it might be there
This
already.
March 10th. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this weekend. Right, that's right, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, so this was a TV show called Luther with starring Idris Elba, and it had 3 seasons, I think, right? Is that what you told
I
me?
thought it had like eight. I thought he was on it for
Oh, you
like
know what? Yeah, sorry. I think it's much more than three. I'm
I can look.
confusing that with something else. So, I went into this totally blind. I really like Idris Elba, and I want to talk about him just a little bit. He's one that I've always enjoyed. I always find him interesting, and I just think he's cool. I just think he's super cool. I love the conversation when people were talking about him maybe being the next James Bond if they were going to go, black. And now they say maybe he's too old. They want to pick someone younger, like in their late 20s, early 30s. So, that's fine. But anyway, I always think he's cool. The tough part about him is he just the movies he gets to a lot of times just don't do that well, or he doesn't get the best part in it. So it's just a bad shake as things go.
I love him
Like,
too.
yeah, so he was in that movie with the Lions earlier this year.
Yeah, Beast.
Earlier last year, Beast. Yes, thank
Yeah.
you. And that was great. And he
Yeah.
was great in it.
Yeah,
But
he's having
it didn't.
fun.
Yeah, it just didn't do that well, box office wise. And then he was in that series, that Stephen King series, The Dark Tower, which was supposed to be the setup for this huge universe, and that
Yeah.
totally bombed.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a great movie, but he of course was good in it. So yeah, I've always liked him. I'm always interested when I see him. So that's him. The movie kind of picks up where the show left off, apparently. So there is some things in it that I didn't find out till later. For one, the main villain, who's played by Andy Serkis, and
Oh,
he's the
okay.
he, yeah, and which is cool to see him in a role like that. I mean, we saw Andy Serkis as the villain in Black Panther from a couple years ago, right? And he was great in that. And we usually see him in CGI work,
Oh, I just
but.
saw him in Andor. That's where I
Oh
saw him last. Yeah, he was
yeah.
really good in that too. I love him as an actor, so continue,
Yeah,
sorry.
he's an interesting choice too. No, I'm glad you brought that up too, because I remember seeing him there as well. They do have him in kind of a goofy wig in this one that looked a little nutty, but he's playing a totally crazy person who's into all kinds of crime. I mean, and he's like supposed to be this tech genius kind of guy, and his thing is like selling. Kind of, if you remember this movie that came out in the early 2000s called Hostel, where people paid to watch other people like torture victims.
Oh, hostile. Yeah, I've seen them both. Yeah.
Those are wild movies. But that's kind of his current thing. And he's done. His wife wanted to leave him from some of these crimes, so he did something to her, and she has a small part in this movie. But the basic story is Idris Elba is on his case. He kind of abducts and maybe murders this young boy, some 12-year-old boy or something like that. And Idris Elba is getting close to catching him, but he is a detective who bends the rules. So he gets in trouble and sent to jail for contempt and tampering with evidence and stuff. So it's a story we've seen before where a
Yeah.
director, not a director, a detective is trying to do the right thing, but he goes too far, not
Yeah.
following the laws in place.
Yeah.
So then, we have to watch Idris escape from jail and then try and help the current task force track him down. And the current task force also wants to get Elba back in jail.
Right.
And it kind of goes from there. So yeah, it was mostly good. I would recommend. It's a very good like B movie that I would recommend to like my dad, as if he's looking for an action movie to watch. And I know he likes Idris Elba as well. So yeah, and of course, if you've seen the show, then you absolutely have to see the movie. But then I would say for someone who hasn't seen the show, I didn't feel too left out. I mean, it really was just the villain who I had no clue about, and apparently the show ends with some stuff where you know what the villain is doing. So, but they flash back to it. It's shot really well. It looks nice. It looks professional. It looks like a movie, not like a TV show. I gave it 3 out of 5, and it's overall good. The ending is a little goofy, and what it culminates to for the big, you know, ending scene. But I had fun with it. I enjoyed it. It had my attention the whole time. So that's
good. Well,
Fallen Sun.
Yep. Okay, so I will correct myself. It had 5 seasons, but only 20 episodes. So, and like the British do different things over there where they will have like, you know, like, oh, here's season 2, but it's only 4 episodes or something. It's like a mini series almost. But so I guess if somebody wanted to catch up and then watch the movie, I've heard the show is really good. So.
I'm curious as to what the decision making was. It's like, because it has been off the air for quite some time now, so it's like, why did they decide to make the movie? Or maybe they made it a while ago and are just dropping it now.
Maybe this happens all the time. Like, what was that, Veronica Mars? Like, you remember, like, that show ended like 8 years ago, and then all of a sudden they're like, we should do a movie, and nobody saw it. Or Veronica Mars, is that the show? Anyways.
I think so. That sounds familiar. And then they did that one for Breaking Bad, El Camino.
Yeah.
I actually liked that one. I did like that one.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't.
So you're right. They do that. I think Netflix looks and says, if there's a kernel, even 5 people liked this show, hey, let's make a movie, you know?
I think it's also, too, like, the fan base get pissed off because they didn't like the ending or something. And I know they're trying to do it with Community right now, and apparently there is going to be a Community movie. They've already said it will happen, but anyways. So I am going to take, what was I going to talk about? Oh yeah. I also saw another international film, The Quiet Girl. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I don't see a ton of people enjoying it. It is very quiet. It is very slow, and it was frustrating because there's times where, you know what, I should set up the fucking movie, I should probably do my job. So The Quiet Girl, hold on, is a 2022 film nominated for Best International Film. It is a coming-of-age drama directed by Colm Bareide. It's Gaelic, so I don't know. The dialogue is mostly in Irish or Gaelic, set in 1981. The film follows a withdrawn 9-year-old girl who experiences a loving home for the first time when she spends the summer on a farm with distant relatives. So have you seen this?
I did, yeah.
Oh fuck, why do I not ask you?
No, that's all right. I was gonna mention it.
and did you like it?
It was okay. You know, so I guess I can tell you my thoughts. So before going to see this one, it felt like homework to me, because looking at the poster, looking at the subject matter, like you said, it's a little girl who's quiet, going to live with relatives. It seems like it would be boring. And the first hour to me was boring. Honestly, it does start off kind of slow. And that's because the lead girl, she doesn't really speak that much.
Yeah.
You know, she's always looking down at her shoes. She's really shy and meek and maybe unhappy. But you kind of learn later in the movie why she's like this, and there's reasons why she's like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to like it a little more after about the first hour. So it was definitely powerful at some points. And it seemed like delicately made and, you know, really well acted. I think the accents do a lot for me, since I don't know that dialect at all. It's you know, easy for them to fool me that they're acting, because I don't know if that sounds right or not, you know.
I think like her aunt or cousin that she stayed with, the older woman, I think she did a really, really good job. Like,
yes.
I was really engrossed in her performance, but
yeah, there's a moment where the dad or the surrogate dad puts a biscuit like on the table.
Yes.
And it was really powerful, and that raised it to a 3 instead of 2-star.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a little predictable, but it's made really well, and it's a sweet story. But kind of like you said, I can't. There's not too many people I could recommend this to.
No, it's a tough one. It's and gotta be honest, like it's beautiful, and as I was into it, like by the end I was like all in, and I loved it, and I love the relationships. But we've seen all of this before, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, the grumpy, you know, uncle who doesn't want a kid but then grows to love her, and you know, the grieving and all that stuff. We've seen this before, but it doesn't mean it's bad. It just means I think I gave it 4 stars because I was very engrossed by the end, and I was very involved, and they got me, and I think they got me really hard. And I think if a movie can do that, they deserve at least 4 stars.
Yeah.
And then it was beautifully shot and well acted. So why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
So that's The Quiet Girl. And that one is also like 90 minutes, 92 minutes. So
yeah,
it was an easy watch.
I had actually started it, and then I was like, oh my God. So
right.
it does feel like homework, but it does get better. I think if this was like American, people would be all over it because
that's a good point. That's a great
because,
point.
Yeah. And I didn't have subtitles for when they're just talking in English, and I wish I did, because they have such a strong Irish accent that I couldn't understand a fucking word they were saying. And
you brought that up.
Yeah, my dad came down, and I'm like,
I saw in the theater.
Oh.
I saw in the theater, and I was having a really hard time understanding a lot of it.
It was just, yeah. Gio from the Film Vault, he is a fan, so shout out to Gio. He listens to the show.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and he messaged me. He's like, oh, it sounds great, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, like, what can I do better? He's like, you got to be less fidgety. And I'm like, I realize I'm doing it, but I don't know how to stop being fidgety. That's just who I am. So I apologize. I am trying tonight, but I like can't sit in a chair for too long, and I'm just, yeah. Anyways, could be ADD. It could be just me, but whatever. So, and then I guess we're going to talk about Maniac, which we were assigned last week. Do you mind first if I just kind of really quickly, I just wanted to go over like the shorts you talked about last week, because I did watch them, and just maybe tell you like the ones I liked and
oh
stuff,
yeah, yeah, please.
If you don't care. So
no, go for it.
I hated The Flying Sailor.
Okay, yeah, right, because
just
not too, there's no dialogue really.
Yeah, just annoyed the shit out of me. Ice Merchants was really good. I'm still thinking about that like zany world they live in. I think you like that one too, right?
I think I did. Yeah, I did like that one.
It felt like a comic strip.
It was interesting.
Yeah,
that's a good way to put it. The way it was animated definitely felt like a comic strip.
Yeah.
But you're saying the world they live in is crazy because they live on this cliff with their house like looking like it's going to fall because it's anchored in ice.
And the kid has a swing that just swings over a 3,000 foot drop. I mean, and he's just, and the dad's just watching. It's just, it feels like just a Gary Larson cartoon or something. It just, I loved it.
That's so true. Yep.
But an ostrich told me the world is fake. It didn't really work for me, and I know you liked it, so
I did. Yeah. What'd
you sorry.
Think of it's that's fine. But what do you think of its framing device, where you're watching the screen of what's happening, but you can see behind the monitor the hand movements in fast motion?
So you had told me that obviously last episode, and so I was looking forward to it, and I didn't get what I wanted, because I wanted to be able to see the movements more, and all we could see was kind of like, and I was like, oh, I want to see them doing both at the same time. Like, you could see what was on screen, and then you could just kind of see the hands, which was interesting, very interesting, obviously, but it actually ended up irritating me more than So I just wasn't on board.
That's fair.
I was like, I can see why anybody would like it, but, and the humor didn't really, there's a couple funny parts, like when like there's a mouth that falls off at a certain point that is just way too funny. Yep. So obviously I love the boy, the mole, the fox, and the horse. I've seen that like 8 times. It makes me cry every time.
Yes.
My Year of Dicks. And I had seen that before too, and it's okay. You know, I wasn't like, and then so live action shorts, obviously I haven't seen An Irish Goodbye yet. So An Irish Goodbye, do you remember it at all? Is it good? What can you tell me?
That one. So that's the one that is they're dealing with the grieving. It's two brothers dealing with their mother who died. One of the brothers has Down syndrome and is much younger. And they find a list of things the mother wanted to do before she died. And the brother with Down syndrome tries to talk the older brother into completing that before he sends the younger Down syndrome brother off, because the older brother can't take care of his needs.
Okay.
So he's like, hey, sorry, you can't stay here. And so they go through this list of doing things. So when I saw it, a lot of people laughed at it. There's a lot of like, it goes for goofy humor, fart humor and stuff.
Oh.
And that has its place and it's funny at some points, but yeah, you know, I guess I would still try and see it. Cause you know, that I could see someone being like, oh, that's the best one, you know?
Well, it's as of right now, I think it's the favorite to win, I think. So that's why I'm like, I hope I can see it, but I loved The Red Suitcase. I think The Red Suitcase was just phenomenal. That's another one. I think I gave 4.5 stars. And I think it's one, like, I could have seen a whole movie on just that. Like, it was so tense.
That one was powerful.
Yeah, very, very powerful. The pupils, I hated everything. It's on Disney Plus. It's about these kids in a church, and there's cake involved, and they want. I didn't get the message. There was supposed to be something going, like some message, and I was just gone. Ivalu was really great, very beautiful, and Night Ride is a lot of fun. Until it's not fun, until it gets serious, and then it's really emotional and really interesting. So,
is that the one where she steals the train?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So kind of by the end.
What was Ivalu?
Ivalu is the one with the Native American girl. I should know this because it is a Canadian short, actually. And just give me one.
Yes.
It's a Danish short. Sorry. In Greenland, Pippaluk awakes to find her older sister Ivalu is missing.
That one was tough.
That was, yeah, very tough, because like you almost know right away what's happened, but the main character doesn't understand what's happened. So you're basically just, I don't know how long it is. Like, I think it's like maybe 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah,
and the whole time you're just sad. You're sad like the whole time.
Yeah. This poor girl. Yeah.
Anyways.
So, but you had more to say about the Night Ride.
Well, I think it just starts as this like funny, comical little, a little person is stealing a train, and then it turns into two people who have probably been marginalized by society coming together. And I just thought it was, I really liked that one too. So
It was really good. It was good. It was. And I liked how it ended. It was, it's nice. I like the shorts. I love the short. The shorts are always interesting to me because it's not much of a commitment. It's always a topic that I would never have come across.
Yeah. Period.
And it's usually from other countries that I don't see lots of movies from. You know?
Yeah. Like, so I think I'm going to
Ireland.
Yeah. I'm going to really start to try and make sure I see them all every year. I did find out that they all did come to one of my theaters close by, and I just didn't go.
Oh, cool.
So I'm gonna make sure hopefully they come again next year and I can go, because I do want to keep this up. So Maniac, I will let you lead us in because I have done enough talking.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So Maniac was the movie we were assigned. This is a 2012 psychological thriller directed by Frank Calfon, written by Alexander Aja and Greg Levasseur. The big deal with this one is it stars Elijah Wood back in 2012. Mm-hmm. So that's 11 years ago now. It was a remake of a 1980s movie of the same name. And it's kind of like an exploitation movie, really, in the sense that, you know, pause me if I say too much, but, you know, actually, no, this is in the opening scene. Elijah Wood is a psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
Or a crazy person, or whatever you want to call him. He is definitely twisted and needs help because he is going around killing people and scalping them. He is cutting their scalps off and then putting them on or building mannequins with them. And it's really disturbing.
Yeah.
So that's the setup for the movie. I remember this one. I missed it. But I'm glad we got to it, because it's just one that I would have never come across. So I really like the assignment piece of it.
Yeah, I don't think I would have it was on my watch list, but I don't know how far I would have gone to see it. It didn't stick out, but so what do you think?
I thought the color palette and the way it was shot was pretty compelling and interesting. I thought it looked well, and you know, the scenes at night were really beautiful to look at. I liked the opening scene a lot, the opening kill, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah Wood is watching someone else kind of harass this woman, and he's kind of talking to himself saying, oh, leave her alone, because he wants to kill this woman. So
but it's a very different type of scene, because
like when you find out, you're like, oh god, this is twisted, you know. And then and I thought the effects were really good, the gore effects, you know. And if you're squeamish, like I watched this with a friend and he winced and looked away a lot, so you know, that's a warning to anyone listening. It goes for it is definitely R. I thought the effects were good. The blood a lot of time looks real, and you know, it looks like he's really pulling someone's head off and their hair comes with it's nasty. But I gotta mention one thing that I really liked, and I know this happens to other people. So he ends up meeting a chick who they kind of become boyfriend, girlfriend in it ish. They become friendly. And this is played by Nora Arnezetter. Or Arnezetter. And I did that thing, which is, I was saying that I know people do, where you say, oh, what do I know her from? She looks so familiar.
Yeah.
She played the main badass girl in Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead, which came out just a couple years ago on Netflix.
Did she? Yeah, I would never have put that together. I've seen both now, but I would never.
Same. Wow. That's why I wanted to shout her out, because she was, you know, kind of meek and friendly and kind of mousy and cute girl next door in this movie, wherein not Dawn of the Dead. What did I just say?
I know. Now it went out of my Army of the Dead.
Army of the Dead. She is this total G.I. Jane, like badass ass kicker. And she's got a short haircut, you know, and she's carrying around like heavy artillery. So it was really cool to see her. I'm like, oh, that, you know, I know where she's from. So I was excited to see her and realize that she was the badass from that Zack Snyder movie. She plays Lily. Her name in that movie is Lily. And she did a great job, because the characters are completely different, and she pulled them off really well.
Yeah, she's the...
What'd you think of Maniac?
She's the photographer, right? Like the one who... Or...
Yeah, she might be.
I can't remember.
She's the blonde with short hair. She is.
And she has an accent. I don't know what accent it would be, but
yeah, she does. She has like a Western European type accent. She's great in it. She's great.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts?
I actually went back just because I was like, I'm gonna watch this, and so I went and watched the original first.
Oh,
and It's not great. It was, it says, so while not prosecuted for obscenity, nor officially listed as a video nasty, Maniac was seized by various police forces in the United States and Manchester during the video nasty panic, presumably yep. based on the film's notorious reputation overseas. It has a very low rating on Rotten Tomatoes in both the audience and the critic score, and I can see why. It's very B movie-ish, and but it's you know, if you're a horror fan, you can do a lot worse. So, and the story is pretty similar to the Elijah Wood 2012 version. I like the ending okay. of this one more, because the ending is kind of the same as the Elijah Wood version, but in the original it goes a little harder, and I kind of liked that. It was a little interesting. So, it was interesting.
My note about the ending is just that it was really intense, but it was so over the top and crazy violent that it had me laughing. Not necessarily a bad thing. It was just like, I was just, my jaw was on the floor and I was just laughing like, this is insane. You know?
I think it just worked better in the original. That and yes, the ending is insane. I gave the 2012 one a 3-star and the original a 2-star.
Okay.
I think any fan of horror is gonna like Maniac. It didn't really do a ton for me. I did like, this is going to sound weird, but I loved the scalping and, as you said, the makeup and how they did all that. And so it just seemed yeah. so real and realistic. And Elijah Wood can play. He's proven himself as a good actor to me now with, you know, I love Lord of the Rings, but
of course
he was whatever in Lord of the Rings. But he's proven he can do a lot of different things now. So,
yeah, that's what made this so interesting. And that's why I was really glad that this one came up, because, you know, he was on top of the world. And for him to choose to do something like this, remake an 80s video nasty.
Yeah.
Is gutsy. And so I applaud him for it. I think I also gave it 3 stars. And you make a good point about horror fans. Horror fans definitely, like, you kind of need to see this to, yeah. to cross it off your list. And I could definitely see my art house theater here in Chicago showing this. Mm-hmm. That's where I see a lot of old horror movies that have cult followings. And this would be just like that, where it'd be like, wow, you know, Elijah Woods came out in 2012. How do I not know this one and go see it? So yeah, it was a good sign. I'm glad we watched it. And it's definitely a must for a horror fan.
Yeah. Have you seen I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore?
I have, and I love that movie.
Okay, good. Me too. Because I was going to say, like, with that and then this Maniac, I was like, I you know what? Elijah Wood. Oh, and Come to Daddy. Did you see that one?
I did, yeah. Just a couple years ago, right?
And that one's a pretty good one, 2019. So he's kind of dipping his toe into, like, the horror worldy. So it's cool. Yeah. I mean, 2012 was a long time ago, but
right. But no, you know, a lot of times you hear this term used in Hollywood. People say, for people that make big blockbusters like him, they do one for them, one for me. So they
yeah.
do one of the big Marvel movies, whatever. But it seems like he's doing just one for me, because I guess you can count the Lord of the Rings trilogy as like 61 for them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest yeah. movies of all time, Oscars, blah blah, like, he did it, so he can now do what yeah. he wants. And it's exciting. It's great to see actors like that. It's something that I like. One of the reasons why I love Jake Gyllenhaal so much,
yeah,
because he picks just interesting movies. I mean, this is a tangent, but I loved him in Ambulance last year. You know, the Michael Bay movie Ambulance.
Me too.
It's a crazy Michael Bay type movie. But Gyllenhaal was great in it. So, yeah, I hope Elijah Wood keeps doing weird movies like this, because it keeps it interesting. And, yeah. and people will go because his name is in it. So it gets eyeballs on a weird video nasty yeah. horror movie remake. You know,
it's
so, yeah.
it's kind of what I always have equated the two, Elijah Wood and who plays Harry Potter?
Yes, I Daniel, confuse them all the time.
Yeah, Daniel Radcliffe. And now their trajectories are kind of similar. They both
really similar.
Are, yeah, they're both now kind of just doing whatever they want and finding little projects. Like Daniel Radcliffe just did the weird Al Yankovic one, and so yes. it's interesting. But yeah.
Yep,
so.
and he did that farting corpse movie, Swiss yeah. Army Man.
Yeah.
He did Guns Akimbo.
Yeah.
He was in The Lost City with Sandra Bullock.
I know. Last year, I watched that with my movie. Mom.
And yeah, I did too. I watched it with my mom.
But he was great.
He played the sniveling villain, and he was great in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. It's really funny you mention him, because I almost got him mixed up when I'm like writing my review for this.
Yeah.
Mentioning one of his other movies. I think it was Guns Akimbo. I was like, oh, he was in Guns Akimbo. And I'm like, wait a minute, that was Radcliffe. So
I've done it my whole life. So just quickly, I've got up here what is coming to theaters this weekend. Is this true? Like, we've got the Adam Driver dinosaur movie and Scream 6 yes. both coming out this weekend?
Yes. I'm really excited. Yes.
So which one do you think will come out on top?
I bet you Scream will come out on top just because it did so well last year. And
it's got Jenna Ortega and
yep. And she's hot right now. She's yeah. on fire.
Yeah.
I
really want to see 65.
Me too, man. I am so looking forward to that. I love Adam Driver. He's another one who, if he's in something, I'm going to see it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really looking forward to both, because I really enjoyed the Scream movie. I ended up seeing it
me
twice.
Too.
I went and saw it by myself and then went with some friends later. I thought they did a great job kind of revitalizing.
I agree.
It's a bummer they're not bringing back Neve Campbell.
I was just going to say that. I love her, and I love what she usually brings to the... I like every Scream movie. I'm kind of the person that thinks there hasn't been a really bad one in the bunch. A lot of people like to go and say 3 was a piece of crap, but I'm not with them. I've just enjoyed them all. So it just good. Sucks. It just sucks that Nev's not going to be.
I think they're all good except 4. I think 4 I remember being terrible, but hey, I'm glad you like them.
Yeah, on a rewatch, 4 wasn't as good as a lot of people say it is, but I they're just kind of my bag, and I love it.
Yeah, you know, to be fair, those probably came out at a time we were the very right age, you know,
yeah.
burgeoning movie fans,
yeah,
also horror fans. So yeah, we were definitely the targets for those. But yeah, they did a really great job with the last one. I mean, I remember really liking it and being surprised by some of the things they did in it, you know, some of the characters that we lost in that one. I won't spoil anything.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
I know.
I'm really excited to see both of them, and I will see both of them this weekend for sure.
I might
see 65 first.
I might I don't know what to do. So that's cool. Well, everyone, it sounds like we will have reviews of both next week, because I'm going to definitely try to get to that. So Scream 65. And also there's a comedy coming out called Champions it's directed by one of the Farrelly brothers, and it stars Woody Harrelson. Mm. So haven't heard much about that, but anyways. And coming to streaming, we have...
Before you get to that list, I know two off the top of my head that just hit streaming was Missing, movie that just hit streaming today, and then also Chris Rock's newest special is on Netflix. So
I watched the whole part about the slap, and it was...
I need to get to it.
Well, it was all on it was on TikTok, so I haven't watched the actual show yet, but somebody had put it all on TikTok about the whole talk about the slap, and it's he goes for the jugular so I know I did just see that Missing. I'm gonna watch that, I think, this week, because I missed it in theaters. And
yeah, I recommend it if you like Searching.
I
think you'll like this one. It's kind of similar in the sense of how they tell the story, obviously using Skype, Zoom, news footage, and it has lots of twists and turns. I definitely did not predict where Missing was going, but yeah, check it out.
Okay,
check out Missing.
I will. Sorry, I accidentally clicked the trailer for Luther and it just started blasting in my ears. But Luther is streaming, I think, Netflix March 10th. There's a movie called Unicorn Wars that looks very interesting. That will be streaming March 10th. It doesn't say where, but maybe it's just to rent. It looks like a... Anyways, and then there's a documentary called I Got a Monster. It looks like a takedown of the police kind of thing. Okay. And yeah, a couple other streamer, nothing crazy. So two more things we need to talk about before we end, because I'm going to put this out probably tomorrow, and this weekend is Oscars. Are you going to watch the Oscars? Do you usually...
Yeah, I definitely do. And I will try and help you find a way to watch it too.
I am working on it. I have a VPN that actually I forgot, and so I'm working on that, and I am I'll figure it out. I think I have a way now. You know, you cut the cord and then it's like you need it once or twice a year, like the Super Bowl and the Oscars.
Oh, don't get me started. That's exactly it. Like, I haven't had the cord for years and years and years and years. And it's like twice a year, three times a year, there's something where I'm like, oh, damn it, I wish I had that. And then it's like, hey, can I, you know, but usually I'll tell you this, you can usually borrow a friend's login for, you know, their cable company, satellite company, whatever. Yeah. And then you just go to the website and use your VPN so that you're in the States. And you
I shouldn't say anything like that on the air, but I am figuring it out. So I will definitely be watching. I have people coming over.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. Yeah. We can definitely recap it on next week's show. I guess maybe we can record Monday.
We'll have to, because I will be drunk and tired by the time the Oscars are over, so Monday or Tuesday. Who do you think will win Best Picture? What do you Best Picture?
That's going to Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. And I am happy for them because I love that movie and they're the underdog, and just all the stories around it are just exciting. So I will be happy to see them win. What about
for them to come out so early in the year? And just to keep up the word of mouth, and every time it comes up in conversation, it's basically just like, yeah, no, it's the best movie.
So it screened literally exactly a year ago at South by Southwest. So it's been a full
year
that it's been out. And you're right, for it to keep up this pace for that long is incredible. And it was, it's so inventive. It's so different than everything else.
Oh yeah. And you know what? I watched it again and I didn't love it as much as the first time. I want to give it one more watch before the Oscars, and kind of see where it lands on my best of list. But so you think Brendan Fraser has Best Actor in the bag, probably?
I do. I really do. I think he does, because you know, watching his speeches from the other PGAs and DGAs and Golden Globes. Oh, no, he didn't win at Golden Globes. Sorry, that was Austin Butler, right? Yeah.
And that's the other thing is Austin Butler was so good too, and it's so hard that it can only go to one person. But
it is, it's silly, you know, a lot of bitching goes on about, oh, the Oscars important, and I don't put like total faith in them. The only reason that I think they're important is because when you look back at a year, you start there, like, all right, what was nominated, what won? It's like,
yeah,
it gives you an idea of what was going on in the culture at the time. So
yeah,
it's important in that sense. Other than that, the pageantry and the drama around it, you can miss me with that. But at the end of the year, I usually do end up caring, and I hope
to me it's wins. To me it's kind of a nice ender to the movie season, like, you know,
right?
And then okay, let's welcome 2023. And I know it's March already, but it's like 2022 here, celebrate the movies from it, and then now let's move on. Sorry, I know I'm keeping you probably longer.
No, you're fine, and I agree. And I, if I could just say one reply to what you just said, is I agree with you, and I really wish they would move it back to doing it in like February.
Yeah, late January.
Because this mid-March thing is just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And it's like they have to be the last one or something. I don't know, but
right. I mean, I guess, do they really? And you know, maybe if they moved it back, would others move up? They would.
I don't know.
I don't know how that would work, but yeah, I hate that it drags out this long.
Me too.
It just makes the season so long. I mean, so yeah. We have to hear about predictions for. Ever and ever.
By the time it comes around, I'm like almost sick of hearing, you know.
Same. And like we just said, Everything Everywhere has been out for a literal year. Yeah, I'm so excited for it. But man, yeah. I want to hear like, oh, this year, this one is the new exciting one, you know?
Yeah. And so I guess the big one that people are undecided is, will it be Kate Blanchett or Michelle Yeoh for Everything Everywhere All at Once, or Kate Blanchett for Tar?
Oh man, that's a tough one.
I think it's going to go to Yeoh. I think it's going to go Michelle Yeoh, but I'll pick
Blanchett then.
Okay, I hope it's Blanchett. I think she gave, in my opinion, the better performance.
I think so too.
I loved Michelle Yeoh, so but
she was so incredible in Tar, and I saw the movie a second time because I didn't really love it the first time, and then it got all the praise, and I'm like, let me see what I'm missing. And I would hope for Yeoh because as Blanchett's kind of said in public, she already has a couple, like, let someone else get the spotlight. But
yeah,
she was amazing.
And
I think I recently went and saw Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. They brought it back to theaters.
Yeah.
I think to help boost Michelle Yeoh. And yeah. She was so good in it. And man, like, so I did just see that recently. And it didn't look like she's aged a day, man.
No.
Comparing her from Crouching Tiger in year 2000 or 2001 to this, she looks almost the exact same. And it's amazing. I'm like, good for her.
I mean, like, it's just something in the Asian, like, I think they've done a documentary about, like, why Asian people, and I'm not trying to be racist at all, but, like, why Asian people age at, like, into their, better. You know, so better than us, you know, long pigs or whatever you call us over here.
Yeah, there's something to that. There absolutely is.
But I mean, and look at Angela Bassett. She looks fucking incredible.
She's another one who just looks amazing still.
Yeah.
And, you know, and sometimes I'm like, you know, am I being fooled by like digital de-aging? I've heard stuff like that happens in movies, but not, I doubt we would see that in something like Everything Everywhere. That was a smaller budget, like,
especially how much. Yeah. Eight.
Yeah. So yeah. Okay. So I'll pick Blanchett if you pick Michelle Yeoh.
Okay. Everyone who's listening, you can go to, if you go to the Film Vault Facebook page or whatever, I have created the third annual Film Vault Oscar pool, and you can fill out your ballots and you could win. Obviously, this show is loosely related to the Film Vault, so I bring that up. But if you have no idea what I'm talking about, I might kind of copy it and just make my own for the Hollywood Persona people. And then maybe have a prize or something. I don't know. So keep an eye out. This week, Ant and I have been assigned number 654. Yeah, Moses Rodriguez. I had it right. So he said 654. So that brings us down to 654. And you may have seen it, but this is something that I definitely haven't seen. It is a movie called Next Floor. From 2008.
Doesn't sound familiar.
2008.
During an opulent banquet, 11 pampered guests participate in what appears to be a ritualistic gastronomic carnage. In this grotesque universe, an unexpected sequence of events stabilizes.
Short.
Oh, The Endless Symphony of Abundance. Okay, cool.
Hey, that's a short by Denis Villeneuve, who did Arrival and Dune. And I'm pretty sure I put it on here because I think Anderson was talking about it. So that's a pretty easy, looks like it's on Netflix, Next Floor. So if,
I mean, so Netflix, excited. I love that
YouTube. Yeah, me too. So it's just another one of his I get to see. So thank you, Moses. We will talk about that next episode. As for now, you can find The Hollywood Persona, where all podcasts are, We are on YouTube. I'm a little backlogged on putting them on there. And so at the Hollywood Persona on Instagram, Facebook, and then Twitter, it's at TH Persona. And yeah, I'm all over the place. I mean, I have links there so you can find whatever. And Ant, you are on Letterboxd?
Letterboxd. Yes. Yeah, I'm letterboxd.com/antsmovies.
Okay, I have that in the show notes for last episode, so it will be in the show notes as well. So follow us both on Letterboxd, people. And anyways, that I think that's it. Anything else from you, Ant?
No, man, this is great. I'm glad we did it. And I'm really excited for next week to talk about Scream 64. And especially this short, man, I can't wait to watch it. So, and the Oscars recap. So we'll have a full, I thought we'd have light work today, but we ended up.
Yeah, that was a long one. Sorry to keep you, but it was fun.
No, not at all, man.
Yeah. I just,
yeah, I'm glad we did it.
Having things to ask you about because, so is 64 like the prequel to 65?
Oh, I fucked it up.
I'm just kidding. I just had to call you on that. So yeah,
it's a stupid title. It really is. Like, yeah. Come on. I mean, yeah, I know. They should call it 65 million. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And really, what's a million years when you're talking about 60 of them? Like, the dinosaurs that different in 1 minute? But yeah, no, I'm so excited. I love space related stuff. And
me too. Space and Earth dinosaurs
related. Yeah, let's have it. Let's have
all
it.
Right. All right.
Cool, Mitch. Well, thanks, man.
Yeah, well, thanks for everybody for listening. Talk to you. See you next week.
Yep, have a good week.